This is Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our theme today is Let's Eat.
Introduce yourself, please, with your name and...
Okay. My name is David Mickelson, and I'm the founder of the Snopes.com fact-checking site.
There's a thing we do in radio, and I'm actually not too sure why, but to get our recording level set, we ask our guests to tell us what they had for breakfast that morning.
Actually, this morning, it wasn't quite morning, but I had a Big Mac because my wife ran out to do something while I was busy, but... She always jokes that the website runs off of Coca-Cola and Baskin-Robbins.
Well, I value your honesty because, and everyone always says, I had wheat germ and, you know, gluten-free whatever and, you know, 16 leaves of spinach. And I'm like, come on, man.
Really? I'm the poster child for bad nutrition.
Yeah, like I had Rice Krispies and I don't even feel bad about it.
David lives in Tacoma, and on his website, there's a whole section of food-related hoaxes and urban legends. He joined us in our studio, where I asked him about a few.
The one that caught my eye was the potato diet one.
Oh, seen in the last year or two on the internet, kind of the claim that you could live indefinitely on a diet of nothing but potatoes and butter.
I want to believe.
Which... I don't know if we want to call it a myth. I mean, it's one of those ones where it's kind of true to a degree. I mean, you could live in the sense of not starving to death for a significant period of time. It's lacking a lot of things that you really need nutritionally for sustained good health.
Right. So I'm looking at the Snopes site right now, and one of the citations is that in 2010, Chris Voigt, head of the Washington State Potato Commission, promoted the merits of tubers by living off of them for 2 months. he ate about 20 potatoes a day for 60 days. And the guy says he was fine, he even lost weight.
Yeah. Again, it kind of feeds into there's probably a whole lot of foods that you could live off of exclusively for a fair amount of time. And I said living and doing well are two very different things.
One of my favorites, and I don't know if there's any shades of gray here, is the notion that eating an egg and a banana at the same time will kill you.
Yes. That's one of those ones, and it comes out of left field. There didn't really seem to be any, you know, plausible mechanism or even something that seemingly made sense, even if it was totally wrong behind it.
So when I was growing up, I was told that if you drink a Coke and eat Pop Rocks, you will explode.
Certainly, when I started looking at urban legends, yes, you know, it's still around. And it's common when kind of really unique new products come out that there'll be some kind of, deadly safety rumor associated with them, you know, just because they're so different and new.
Unnatural looking,
you know,
probably.
People microwaving their poodle, you know, to dry it off. That, you know, that was common when microwaves first hit the consumer market. There's always some way some new technology is deadly.
Did you find any instances of people microwaving their poodle?
No.
Okay. So do you see them rolling, you know, having multiple lives quite a bit, things that come back in different forms?
I mean, sort of like the stereotypical food contamination legend back in, say, the first part of the 20th century was always the mouse in the Coke bottle. Somebody was always suing because he found a dead mouse in a bottle of Coke. And it's kind of morphed into the Kentucky fried rat, you know, a box of chicken or a bucket of chicken, and there's a fried rat in it or a fried rat head. And it's all these rumors have in common is that they're really implausible if you know how these products are made and manufactured. There's like really no way that a mouse is going to get into a bottle of Coke.
Yeah. Do you think that explains some of the persistence of these myths that people don't understand how our food production works? People are pretty far removed now from how food gets made, processed, packaged, and sold. That's a big black box, so people fill it in with these myths.
Yeah, oh, well, definitely. And you can kind of trace sort of the history of food-related urban legends as kind of originating, you know, particularly after World War II, when, say, maybe restaurant dining became more popular, and also with sort of the start in the growth of the packaged food industry with, you know, canned foods and then later TV dinners, where people were no longer preparing their meals for themselves. So they couldn't vouch for exactly what was in those foods, and also people were not producing the foods themselves. People were moving away from farms. All of that kind of feeds into the idea of you don't know what's going on with your food. All sorts of weird things could be happening. One we see still pop up with a lot of regularity is the idea that there's a food additive, a food flavoring, particularly a vanilla flavoring that's made from the like anal sacs of beavers. It's called castoreum. And again, it's not completely false. That is, you know, castoreum has been used in flavoring of foods, but not it so much anymore. I mean, it's as you can imagine, trying to extract things from beavers is terribly inefficient and expensive. So it's unlikely the average American is eating anything in their lifetime that was flavored with castoreum.
But the substance is real.
Yes, it is real.
It does come from a beaver's anal glands.
Yes, and it has been used in food throughout, you know, history, but just not anymore.
Do you have a sense of whether we are getting closer or further from the truth, broadly speaking?
Just in general?
Or yeah, not just food, but overall. I mean, are we more or less inclined to believe hoaxes and things like that now that we have instant access to so much information, good and bad?
I always like to say that technology changes, but human nature not so much, or only very slowly over long periods of time. So it's not like a whole lot of what we're seeing is new, and people have always wanted to believe things that aren't true.
Do you feel at some point like you're rolling the boulder up the hill and having it roll right back down again?
Yes, I often equate it to, say, housework, as in it's never done, it's never finished, you just do it and then you start doing the same thing over again the next day or a few days later. And it's like, as you said, a lot of it's repetitive. It's not, you're debunking the same rumor, just like you're washing the same clothes and you're vacuuming the same floors, you know, Yeah, sometimes, like I said, it's a little distressing, discouraging to see something completely ridiculous and frivolous. You know, millions of people are looking for or at that thing, but something that actually has a real impact on people's lives is, you know, barely registers as a blip.
David Mickelson is the founder of Snopes.com. He lives in Tacoma.